Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And today we're talking about travel. We're going to Europe in today's program.
Cool.
Specifically, we're going to Germany, and specifically within Germany, we're going to an area called Baden-Württemberg. Baden-Württemberg. I hope I said that right. You've been to Germany before, right, Stephanie?
Yeah, I have.
Is this an area of Germany that you've been to as well?
Yeah, it's pretty in Germany. If you ever get a chance to go, you should run. They've got a lot of castles there that feels like you're in a fairy tale. It's really fun. But they have beautiful trees. It's very green and lush and beautiful. So, yeah, the German language is hard, though. But you should learn a little bit before you go to a country just to enjoy it a little more, don't you think, Tom?
Sure, a few phrases, guten Tag, stuff like that. Eins, zwei, drei, vier, fünf, count to 10, etc. That's about all I can do. I had a semester of German way back in high school. I've pretty much forgotten everything. But in any case, we are going to Germany in today's program. So let's get to it. Let's read through the entire contents of our lesson right now, and then we'll discuss it.
The sunny side of Germany is found in its southwest corner. Here, Baden-Württemberg's enchanting landscapes, rich culture, and opportunities for personal indulgence and relaxation provide a peaceful escape for tourists and locals alike. In fact, these days, the state is the second most popular travel destination in the nation. Baden-Württemberg was formed after World War II ended. Following Germany's surrender, the country's southwest territory was divided into three states, Württemberg-Hohenzollern, Baden, and Württemberg-Baden. These regions didn't last long, however. In 1951, the population voted in a referendum to merge the three regions, and the modern-day Baden-Württemberg was officially formed on April 25, 1952. As the third largest state in Germany, Baden-Württemberg spans 35,751 square kilometers and is characterized by the astounding diversity of its landscapes. To the west lies the picturesque Black Forest, while the south is known for Lake Constance and its rising Alps. The Swabian Alb hills ornament the east, and the north features the rolling Hohenlohe Plain. The state is one of the sunniest in Germany, so you'll be able to enjoy all of Baden-Württemberg's spectacular scenery beneath clear blue skies. The area's rich cultural landscape boasts historical features such as Heidelberg Castle, a medieval structure erected in the early 1200s. The castle bears a long history of demolitions and reconstructions. Though only partially rebuilt today, its ruins rise majestically over the roofs of Heidelberg's ancient town. Don't leave the area until you take a stroll along the Philosopher's Walk. This path weaves through lemon trees, cypress, and lush vegetation. It has long been revered as the perfect place for serious discussions and contemplation. The internationally renowned path also provides a charming view of the state's Neckar River.
Okay, again, it's our travel unit today, and we're talking about Germany's breathtaking Baden-Württemberg. And this, of course, is an article we're talking about in the month of June, and June is a good time to travel. Of course, kids don't get out from school until the end of June, so maybe you can make your travel plans now if you're wondering where to go this summer. Well, let's talk about Germany, Deutschland. The sunny side of Germany is found in its southwest corner. Germany is, you know, a country with different regions. And in the past, it was divided between West Germany and East Germany. They're reunified now, of course. And then I guess the area of Germany that's in the southwest, which would be similar to here in Taiwan, like Kaohsiung or something like that, the southwest, that area is called Baden-Württemberg. And it's interesting here, it's the sunny side of Germany. So I guess if you like sunny weather or something like that, you should head to this part of Germany.
I think Germany's pretty sunny, generally speaking. Oh, and their air is clean. It's nice. Mm. You know, it's nice and fresh. Oh, it's making me want to take a trip to Germany. So it's at southwest corner. I live in the southwest part of the United States of America. I'm in Arizona, and it's called the Southwest. It's definitely hot and dry. So here, back in Germany, we've got Baden-Württemberg's enchanting landscapes. I love that our author used the word enchanting, because if you enchant someone, you place a spell on them, like you're in a fairy tale. And usually those spells come from, I don't know, wicked witches and stepmothers who are mean, but this is an enchanting landscape. When you use the word landscape, you're talking about what the area looks like, the land, the trees, whether it has flowers or mountains and things like that. So enchanting would just mean charming or attractive. So they've got enchanting landscapes. All the things you can see of an area in a countryside or a land, that's considered to be the landscape. Beautiful landscapes here in Taiwan as well.
It's similar to the word scenery.
Yeah.
But landscape here, as you can tell, is a countable noun.
Yes.
But scenery is not.
No.
So that's weird. So I know you're just going to have to get
Sorry
used to that.
Sorry about that. It's stupid, isn't it? But I hear a lot of sceneries in Taiwan. Don't say that or write it. No.
We appreciate your attempt at speaking like that. A lot of people in Taiwan are afraid to speak. They might think they might make mistakes, of course.
Doesn't matter.
Probably will, but in any case here, landscapes is a countable noun. So different kinds of scenery that you can see down there. It's also got rich culture and opportunities for personal indulgence and relaxation. All these things provide a peaceful escape for tourists and locals alike. So here we're talking about opportunities for personal indulgence. Indulgence is from the verb phrase to indulge oneself. That means to basically let yourself go, basically enjoy everything you can. Don't feel guilty. Don't think too much about things. It's enjoyable. Go for it.
Yeah, we usually indulge in lots of chocolate, or maybe on the weekend you indulge in a big pizza or lots of hamburgers and french fries or just street food. You know, if you go to the night market, that stuff's fattening. So we like to indulge by feeding ourselves things that are fun, or maybe, you know, taking in a concert that costs a little more. So you treat yourself when you indulge. So there's a lot of things to do and see, and it's also relaxing there for tourists and locals alike. When you add that word alike behind these two nouns, it means that refers to both of these things. So the tourists enjoy themselves, and so do the locals, or the people who live there. They're the locals.
Exactly. For both the tourists and locals, local Germans there, they like to have fun, of course.
Yeah.
And in fact, these days, the state is the second most popular travel destination in the nation. I don't know what the first one is. Maybe Munich or something like that.
I think Berlin right now.
Berlin. Okay.
Yeah,
very good.
Very popular.
That's in the eastern portion of the country. But way down in the southwest, we've got Baden-Württemberg, and it's the second most popular travel destination in the nation for, I guess, both locals and foreigners alike. Destination, of course, is where you're going, a travel destination. If you're planning to go to Tokyo, well, your travel destination is Tokyo.
It's interesting to me that Germany, which is a country, a nation, uses a way to divide their country like the United States. They use states like we do in the United States to divide the nation. So in the next paragraph, we say here that this Baden-Württemberg was formed after World War II ended. At that time, there were a lot of different countries and areas, especially in Europe, that became different nations and had different names. So a lot of things happened after World War II ended. Following Germany's surrender, remember, they were fighting everybody else. If you surrender, you give up in a war. You say, okay, I'm done fighting you. You win. I lose, I surrender. We can surrender when we're playing games, too. When I was in junior high, especially, we'd play these games, and if you felt like they were really killing you, you just surrender, you give up.
Sure.
The country's Southwest Territory was divided into these three states. They're all German names. They're hard to say, so if you can't say them, don't feel bad. This was our attempt, Württemberg, Hohenzollern, Baden, and Württemberg-Baden. So these are the three states that they divided the Southwest Territory into. When you're talking about a territory, you're talking about an area of land that is ruled by either a state or maybe a different country, the territory of blah, blah, blah. So these were the three states that were formed after World War II.
Right, and they kind of have their own self-government, where territory usually does not have its own central government. It's controlled by a government far away. But in any case here, these regions did not last long, however, and in the year 1951, the population, the people there, voted in a referendum to merge the three regions, and the modern-day Baden-Württemberg was officially formed on April 25th, 1952. Oh, so long ago. So here we're talking about a referendum. That's like an election in which everybody votes on an issue, a single political question. They often talk about having referendums here in Taiwan for various issues. They don't seem to ever go through, but people try to get them on the ballots and stuff like that. A general plebiscite, sometimes it's also referred to as. So here they voted in a kind of election, you know, should we merge these three territories or these three states into one state? And they said, yes, let's do it. And so modern-day Baden-Württemberg was born on April 25th, 1952.
Yeah. Modern-day meaning it didn't exist before, but now that's what you can expect to find if you take a little trip to Germany as a tourist. And I highly recommend it. It's beautiful there. We're going to go ahead, even though it's a little bit early, we'll take a break before we move on to the final two paragraphs. Stay tuned.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天呢，我们要来造访的是德国叫做巴登福腾堡的这个地方。首先呢，我们来看到第一段的第二个句子提到 ,Here, Baden-Württemberg's enchanting landscapes, rich culture, and opportunities for personal indulgence and relaxation provide a peaceful escape for tourists and locals alike.在这一句里面呢，就叙述了这个巴登福腾堡的迷人的风景，丰富的文化，还可以做什么呢？在这里讲到的是 opportunities for personal indulgence。 indulgence 在这里当作名词，原本是有沉溺、放纵的意思，不过在这里当作嗜好。举个例子来说，Wine is his only indulgence, 指的呢就是酒是他唯一的嗜好。所以来到这个地方，你可以呢享受个人的嗜好以及消遣的机会。在这里 relaxation 代表着就是名词消遣的意思，然后提供给你不管是 tourists and locals alike, 不管是呢旅客或者是当地人，都是一个很棒远离尘嚣的去处。我们要介绍的是在这里的 alike 当作副词是有一样的相似的意思。我们常常说 A and B alike 就代表 A 跟 B 都是一样这样的。接着呢，我们来看一下，回到句首有一个形容词 enchanting 是一个呢迷人的使人着魔的意思。举个例子来说，它有着最迷人的微笑，你就可以写 She has the most enchanting smile。 OK, 接着我们来看一下，首先呢来介绍一下它的历史。在第二段的最后一个句子提到 In 1951, the population voted in a referendum to merge the three regions and the modern-day Baden-Württemberg was officially formed on April 25th, 1952.在1951年呢，当地的居民就举办了公投。公投是最近非常热门的议题。如果我们说举办公投，就可以说 to hold a referendum。他们决定要 merge, 把这三个区域呢，把它合并，成为今天我们所看到的巴登福腾堡，也就是这样子来决定咯。我们用 referendum 再来造一个句子。 The question was decided by referendum. 代表的就是这个问题由公民投票来做决定。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. We're talking about Germany's breathtaking Baden-Württemberg, a beautiful place that takes your breath away, is described as being breathtaking. So beautiful.
And so again, we're talking about this state in Germany, and as the third largest state in Germany, or because it's the third largest state in Germany, Baden-Württemberg spans 35,751 square kilometers and is characterized by the astounding diversity of its landscapes. Okay, there's landscapes as a countable noun. Again, different scenery that you can see there. We've got the verb characterize here. That's being used as a verb to characterize. That just means you describe or note, recognize the distinctive features of a particular area, and you note or observe which of those features make that place all the more special compared to other places.
When we use it as a verb, notice we often will say it's characterized by something. So your characteristics would be listed after that word by. So it's characterized by what? By beautiful landscapes, by amazing different night markets. I'm thinking of places that are characterized by something. Taiwan is characterized by lots of beautiful night markets with food that is so delicious you can't stand it. But your characteristics would be the nouns that you would list, right? So characterized by, remember that. So it's got these different things. Diversity just means different, right? So it's got different looking landscapes. It's not all the same. So you're going to see a lot of variety, we could say. So to the west lies a picturesque black forest. It's picturesque because it looks like a pretty picture or a postcard, right? So picturesque. Black Forest. The Black Forest is very famous. It's the place where a lot of those fairy tales were set. They were set in the Black Forest. So it's a beautiful, thick forest that is beyond imagination. You should take a trip and go.
And every time I hear someone say the Black Forest, I think of that song, A Walk in the Black Forest, you know. I think that song is called Walk in the Black Forest. But it is picturesque. It's scenic. And it's a great place to check out. And while the south is also known for Lake Constance and its rising Alps, so I suppose if you're at Lake Constance, you can see the Alps mountains in the background. So it's quite scenic.
Pretty.
Get out your cameras. Prepare to post lots of photos on the internet to wow your friends. Also, we've got the Swabian Alb Hills. I guess that's another mountain range. They ornament the east. And the north features the rolling Hohenlohe Plain, which is a rolling plain. First of all, let's talk about this word ornament here. Ornament is most often used as a noun. It's kind of a decoration. Most often it describes Christmas ornaments that you might put on your Christmas tree, but it could also be little decorations that you buy on your travels, and then you decorate your wall with them or put them on a shelf or something like that. These are ornaments, kinds of objects that you can look at and stuff like that. But in this particular case, the word ornament is being used as a verb. It just basically means to decorate something to make it look pretty.
Sure does. The north features the rolling Hohenlohe Plain. They do a lot of sounds like they're clearing their throat in Germany. That's their language. You got to get used to it. But Hohenlohe Plain. A plain is usually a flat piece of land without a lot of trees. Here we're talking about rolling plains. Plain is countable, so I can say that. Rolling plains, which means you've got land that is more like hilly, so it goes up and down. So it sounds pretty beautiful. So we've just finished describing the area to the west, to the north, to the south, to the east. And the state, it says, is one of the sunniest in Germany. So you'll be able to enjoy all of Baden-Württemberg's spectacular scenery beneath clear blue skies. That word spectacular always reminds us of this old word spectacle, which was used to describe your eyeglasses back in the old days, like the 1800s with the cowboys in the old West in America. They would wear spectacles. No one said glasses. That's a modern word. So if it's a spectacle, it's something that's really wonderful to look at, to see. Spectacular is an adjective. Scenery here, remember we told you it is non-count. Don't ever put an S on it. It describes lots of different landscapes. Remember, it's countable. So they've got spectacular scenery, lots of blue skies, which means there's a lot of sun.
Supposedly, indeed, in this part of Germany.
Yeah.
And the area's rich cultural landscape boasts historical features such as Heidelberg Castle, a medieval structure erected in the early 1200s. Okay, so check that out. Look it up on Google and get a picture of Heidelberg Castle.
It's very famous.
We've got the word boast here. Boast usually means someone is saying great things about themselves. Oh, I'm so smart. I'm so intelligent.
I'm so rich.
Handsome. Nobody can beat me. I guess we said that Muhammad Ali, the famous boxer, used to boast all the time that he was the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
But in any case here, we're using different words to describe what a place has. We've already used the word feature, for example, so now we're coming out with the word boast. And in this particular case, that means it has this thing, and it's something it's very proud of, and it's something worth checking out. So that's Heidelberg Castle. And what is it? Well, the next sort of clause here describes it. It's a medieval structure, so medieval has to do with the Middle Ages, and it was erected or built way back in the early 1200s. My goodness, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. The castle bears a long history of demolitions and reconstructions. I think this is the first time I've ever seen demolition in one of our articles. A demolition is the process of destroying a building. So sometimes, you know, some of our buildings get old and they need to be torn down or demolished. That is the verb, to demolish a building. And that whole process is called a demolition. We've got a kind of a fun activity in America called a demolition derby. A derby is a race. It's usually a horse race or a dog race. A reconstruction refers to rebuilding something. You know, the word construction is a noun. To construct is to build something. Something large, like a bridge or a big, big building. Or a house. You can construct a home. But here we're reconstructing something. Maybe something has fallen into bad shape and you want to make it look better. So you do some reconstruction.
Or you just simply build the thing all over again. True. Like in Japan, of course, a lot of the castles there are just reconstructions. Yeah. They're not the original castles. They've long been destroyed. They were made of wood. They burned down or fell down in earthquakes, or the Americans bombed them during World War II. So in the case of this castle here, I don't know if the Americans bombed it during World War II as well. But
no, we did not.
I don't think they got that far. But in any case, it was demolished at various times. They tore it down for whatever reason and rebuilt it. Reconstructed it, so it went like that. I guess that's the case of Longshan Temple in Taipei, too. It's kind of been rebuilt.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was bombed during World War II. Oh. I think the Americans bombed it by accident or something like that. But in any case, though only partially rebuilt today, its ruins rise majestically over the roofs of Heidelberg's ancient town. So it's partially rebuilt, so don't expect a really big castle like that one you see in the travel posters. I can't remember what that one's called.
That's Cinderella's Castle.
Cinderella's Castle or Disney's Castle or whatever.
Yeah.
But hey, you got to take what you can get. This is an ancient castle and it's a feature of Heidelberg, the ancient part of Heidelberg, which is one of the cities in this part of Germany.
Sure is. When you talk about ruins, guys, you're talking about things that are left over. You know, maybe a place was destroyed and what's left behind are the ruins. I know if you go to Greece as a tourist, you're going to see a lot of old ancient ruins, the Romans and the Greek ruins that they had built. But it's fun. You know, they left them behind because they're still pretty amazing to see. And you're going to see these ruins majestically, rise majestically over the roofs of Heidelberg's ancient town. When you use that word majestically, you should automatically think of a king or a queen. It just means a lot of impressive beauty or dignity. Because to a king or a queen, you would bow and say, Your Majesty. So that's where that word comes from majestic, majestically rising over the roofs of Heidelberg's ancient town. Down to the last paragraph, don't leave the area until you take a stroll, a little casual walk along the Philosopher's Walk. That's the name of this particular path. It weaves through...Lots of different trees and vegetation, like lemon trees, cypress, lush vegetation. Lush means when there's a lot of that greenery. It's not like a desert where you don't see any plants. It's lush. So any sort of vegetation is growing very luxuriously.
Exactly. Vegetation just refers to plants, trees, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it has long been revered or respected or honored or looked up to as the perfect place for serious discussions and contemplation, of course, is just thinking over things, and the verb is to contemplate. I need to contemplate over the meaning of life. What is the meaning of life? Why are we here, etc.? And the internationally renowned path also provides a charming view of the state's Neckar River. So you can expect to see some wonderful scenery there, some great landscapes. So again, have your camera ready, or better yet, maybe you should bring a sketch pad, some pastels, some watercolors,and spend time there and paint some really wonderful pictures. Okay, that brings us to the end of our discussion. It's time now to listen to our Chinese teacher.
接着我们来看看这里有什么美丽的风景。首先在第三段中间的句子提到 To the west lies the picturesque Black Forest, while the south is known for Lake Constance and its rising Alps.那么有没有注意到这一句的前半句是一个倒装句？我们先把地方副词 to the west 把它摆到句首，真正的主词呢其实是 the picturesque Black Forest， 而动词 lies 则是有位于哪里的意思。那么要注意呢，在这里黑森林是在这个城邦的西部，而 while 在这里的 while 连接词有比较跟对照两者之间的差异。南方呢则是可以看到有这个康士坦兹湖以及高耸的 Alps， 也就是我们为人所知的阿尔卑斯山。接着来看到第四段的第一个句子， The area's rich cultural landscape boasts historical features such as Heidelberg Castle, a medieval structure erected in the early 1200s. 在这里的 boast 我们不是解释成为夸耀，那么是解释成为以拥有什么为自豪。举个例子来说，Our school library boasts a few rare books. 也就是说，我们学校的图书馆是以藏有好多的珍本书而自豪。如果要解释成为夸耀，我们会加上介系词 boast about 或是 boast of， 才会有夸耀的意思。而这个地区呢，还具有许多的 historical features， 历史的特色，像是海德堡城堡。那么在这里同位语补充说明，它是一个 medieval structure， 中世纪的建筑物，建构于西元的1200年代。同样一段的最后一句提到 Though only partially rebuilt today, its ruins rise majestically over the roofs of Heidelberg's ancient town. 虽然呢在这里只有部分被重建，同学有没有注意到 rebuilt 在这里是 VPP 表被动，那它的主词就是后面句子的主词 its ruins， 也就是说这些遗迹呢虽然只有部分被重建，但是仍然呢在现在是 majestically 非常雄伟的耸立在海德堡老城区的建筑的屋顶之上。最后要介绍的这个景点叫做 Philosopher's Walk， 也就是哲学家小径。在这句我们来看一下， It has long been revered as the perfect place for serious discussions and contemplation。当然了，名副其实，这个小径呢很适合你来讨论并且沉思。在这里的 contemplation 就是有仔细考量跟思量的意思。 OK, 以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
OK, guys, that's the end of day one of our travel unit. We're going to spend more time in this beautiful area of the world, Baden-Württemberg, so we hope you'll join us then. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
See ya.